Changing the station is solely prohibited. Live from WGBB, Long Island's oldest radio station, it's time for...
Listen Up, Jesus is on the air. Isn't that good the way I said that?
And here we are, Palmer.
Even Trevor heard that. Everybody heard that.
Palmer, you're amazing.
Listen Up. Jesus is on the air.
You're getting better.
I'm going to say it all day long.
You're getting better and better. It only took 98 shows for you to work this out to perfection.
Well, you know, practice makes perfect. That's why I tell people I'm a practicing Catholic. I haven't gotten it right yet.
I haven't gotten into
the game
yet.
I keep on practicing every day.
And that's Dr. Palmer, and I'm Dr. Anthony Chiffo, and we're here to tell you we love Jesus.
What happened that you didn't say, we love Jesus? What are you doing, going soft?
I was told to calm down.
Who told you?
The listeners. Some of the listeners say.
Oh, they. What do they know?
I'm too hyper. So I'm trying to calm my demeanor down.
Oh, my God. That means I have to get hyper. Welcome, everybody. This is Jesus is on the air, and this is WGBB, where good broadcasting begins. Aren't you happy you're listening?
Oh, my God. And we got a great guest today.
See, I knew I'd get it out of him.
We got Louis Kanya.
Kona.
Oh, sorry. I'm bad at names. And Louis, welcome. Welcome, Louis.
It's great to be here.
Before you get going, Louis, we got to first of all make sure you can hear what you say. Ah, that's me. We got to make sure you know what you're saying.
Once in a while, Palmer screams, but don't pay any attention to him. He gets carried away every once in a while.
You just hang on, audience, for the technical stuff.
Trevor just came in and adjusted the mics and the headphones, and because Palmer knocked them all out of whack. Louis, welcome.
It's a pleasure to have you. Great to be here. Thanks for inviting me on.
It's an honor, and I say that to everybody. And wait, I was only kidding, Palmer. Where are you going? You're out? So, Louis, you're a student at, Georgetown University, which is a unbelievable university, a Catholic, I believe run by the Jesuits.
Yes.
And you're very inspirational. Tell us a little something about yourself.
Well, before you do that, I know he wants you to talk, but I thought you were Robinson Cano. I didn't know that I had the name reversed. I already talk about the Yankees in baseball. Oh, well.
I gave it a name
tough
yesterday.
Tough year for the Yankees.
Palmer doesn't hear too well, so anyway.
Louis, tell us about yourself, really, and how did you get involved with being so close to God or trying to be close to God in your life?
Well, yeah, I mean, first, I'm a student, like you said, at Georgetown, majoring in government.
On a scholarship, I may add.
Yes, scholarship there. So I'm very thankful for that. And I'm close to God. I think throughout my life, I was always involved with the parish community. My family was very involved. I was an altar boy since I was younger. But then, you know, high school years kind of drift apart. And then through the grace of God, got back involved with the church. And during my university years, really, you know, learned more about my faith. And you have the time as a college student to really, you know, delve deeper into the mystery of the church and of Christ. And luckily, at Georgetown as a Catholic school, they provide the opportunities and the resources to really grow in your faith through daily mass and the sacraments and other resources like that. So I'm thankful for that.
Is Georgetown really a Catholic school? I thought they were Jesuit.
believe it or not, they're Catholic school.
Okay.
Believe it or not.
They're there.
Don't tell them I said that.
I won't. I don't think they can hear us. I don't know.
Louis, your religious life is very inspirational and very inspiring to other young people, because where I noticed that wherever you go and you sort of like start a discussion about Jesus and the Holy Spirit, even if it's not the people that you're amongst weren't even thinking about doing that, but it just automatically starts a discussion about Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Comes to our prayer group. That's where, you know, he came. We have a prayer group.
I was in high school. It was 2 years ago already.
Yes, yeah. Wow. He was in high school then. But you know what he did? He dominated the group in discussion. He actually led us in discussion.
Hopefully it wasn't a bad way to dominate the group.
No, it was a good way. So you were very inspirational, and you are inspiring to other youths. And I would like other youths to follow your lead and your example. So go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I appreciate that, and I hope, you know, anyone you encounter, you want to bring them closer to Christ. And we were talking on, you know, on the way here and before the show a little bit about St. Andrew. And the first thing he did after he saw Jesus was what? He went to his brother. He brought Simon there, who became Peter, the head of the church.
And what did he say? You should see who I met.
Exactly. You have something so beautiful here. You have Jesus, the Messiah. You want to share that. You don't want to keep it to yourself. So same thing in discussion with people. You have this beautiful thing, your Catholic faith, the church. You have Christ there present before you on the altar. How could you keep that to yourself? So that's why you want to share it with people. But I think as a college student, especially in the university, you're constantly bombarded with attacks against your faith, whether it's, you know, deliberate or subtle, with professors, with classes, with students, with the lifestyle. So it's challenging for young people to live the Catholic lifestyle. It's very demanding, a very radical lifestyle to live. But it's, you know, through God's grace, through the sacraments, we keep it going. And one thing I'm involved with, and I know Tony's a member of the Knights of Columbus. I don't know if you are, Dr. Palmer.
No.
But they're very active on my campus, and it's really inspirational to see other young people come together with the same values. You know, we have fun. We do sports games. We hang out a lot. But at the end of the day, we do a lot of works of charity, works of mercy, and just, you know, outreach to the community. And that just provides a witness to the faith without preaching anything. You go out there and you lend a helping hand. And to be a college student busy with all your papers and exams, just to do, you know, works of mercy is really inspirational. And I encourage a lot of people to, when you're in the college setting, you want to join a group of people with the same values as you, have this core group you could talk to and share with.
Now, do you find that there are a group of people that share your your inspiration, your love for Jesus in school, and how does that work?
Yeah, believe it or not, I was surprised to see. Before I went to Georgetown, I transferred. I was at American University, very secular and anti-Christian school. You were constantly bombarded by both the university with a pro-choice agenda and amongst the university professors, really shunning the faith. Now, surprised to see such a core group of Catholics amongst this environment. And not just regular Catholics, but dedicated Catholics who knew about the faith, who provided inspiration to me, and I learned so much from them. And I see the same thing at Georgetown. You have this group of people, young people, who are very dedicated. And I think it's because we're constantly bombarded by our faith. With all this garbage that we see, it's not true, and we're searching for something deeper. We know this is not going to bring us happiness, all this nonsense that comes at us. We see what the professors say. We see what goes on TV, in society, and we say, wait a minute, something's not right. You know, there's still this longing that is not being fulfilled. And I think that we find it in the church, and you need to come together because you can't do it alone. So you need other people to talk to. And then you find that brings you happiness, that the church brings you happiness, the sacraments, the faith and the lifestyle. So to have people to share that with is very special. And I think I'm hopeful for my generation because I think that's happening more places I go to. We were just saying the March for Life that I went to last year, the Mass for Life at the Basilica. Majority of the students were either college students who were there, high school students, a lot of young people. So I think we're starting to wake up and see that, you know, where the truth really lies, and it's inspirational.
You know, Lewis, as you were talking, I don't want to dominate. I don't want to say too much. But
oh,
as you
go
were talking,
ahead. Go ahead. Come on. You love it.
We're reversing.
You want to be the general.
Palmer's,
I know. Go
the
ahead.
Guy that dominates. But as you were talking, I sort of got like the idea in my head that you are the perfect example of what Blessed John Paul II wants out of the youth. He his challenge to the youth is, he says, are capable of giving yourselves your time, your energy, and your talent to the well-being of others. And he asks, are you capable of love? If you are, the church and society can expect great things of each one of you.
Oh, wow.
And you know what? I expect great things of you. I really do.
Well, I hope so, but it's not me working. It's God's grace.
And it's the Holy Spirit.
Yes, yes. And I hope, you know, no one's perfect, and we all fall, like, you know, even the apostles fell. But I think it's not just me, but other young people are answering that call. Because just to be a Catholic, just to be a Catholic in today's society is so radical. So radical. Think about what a Catholic lifestyle entails. You know, you have to be balanced. You have to be moderate in all your appetites or your desires. You have to be loving. You have to be forgiving. You don't find that in society, especially in the university level. You know, it's all about me and myself, and, you know, I create my own truth. I create my own happiness. And the Catholic way of looking at it is completely different and turned upside down. So you need strength. You can't, you know, Blessed John Paul II tells us, be not afraid, right? And you have to really, you know, trust in God and live a lifestyle, because that's very radical for today's world. But that radical lifestyle provides a difference and an example. Like, oh, here's someone who gives up some of the desires of the world, but yet they're happy. Why is that person happy? Why am I unhappy when I, you know, go to, you know, Black Friday and buy all these clothes and everything and get video games and this and that and, you know, constant partying on the weekends till midnight, but then again, I'm not happy. Not that those are bad things, but you have to be balanced with this lifestyle. So I hope that provides an example. And like you said, at the end of the day, it's just love.
It's just love. But, you know, I once tried to convert someone, as I try all the time. And the answer I got was, you know, I would love to be a Catholic, but you know what? It's too hard to be a Catholic. There's too many things to be a Catholic that you have to do.
Not only Catholic, Christian.
Or Christian.
Yeah.
Yeah, yep. Absolutely.
But because the values, the Christian values are the Christian values. The Catholic way is the sacramental way, and that's a little different, but everyone else who is Christian follows those same kind of values.
You know, and this is something that I saw, and I'm paraphrasing, but Pope Benedict had a great quote of, yes, the Catholic lifestyle is hard, but we weren't made for mediocrity. We weren't made to live a normal lifestyle. We were made for greatness and become great by living a life of grace in the church and following Christ. You know, that's what we were made for. We were made to be great. We were made to be saints. So, yes, it's tough, and we could give up, and it's easy to give up, but we weren't made to give up. You know, we were made to try and to fall and to try again and fall and keep trying. That's what it's about.
And we're all made to be saints.
Yes.
What else is there but nothing. Become a saint?
That's it.
But even St. Paul said, Lord, why do I do the things I know I should not do?
Of course, yeah.
Because we're always under attack from the sources of evil, whatever you want to say, that wish to pull us away from that close intimacy with God.
Yeah, that's one thing I think a lot of people forget, is that there's two forces working in the world.
That's right.
And the bad guy is out to get us. And every time we get closer, he gets angry. You know, he doesn't want someone, another soul going to Christ.
You know what I figured out? The closer you get to God, evil comes after you.
Oh,
even
of course,
And I figured out the reason why. His life is at stake in us. And if we get all the way to God, he's dead meat.
Yep.
This evil one, not God.
Of course, dead meat.
And you get that grace. Jesus says, my grace is sufficient. That's what you're talking about.
Yeah. No, you're right. You're right. one thing I wanted to mention, too, and I think amongst young people, is I think the Catholic faith is largely misunderstood. I think, you know, I was mentioning before about, you know, the college lifestyle. I think a lot of people, they go, if you're Catholic, you can't have fun, you can't go with your friends, you can't do... No, the church is not saying that, you know. And I think that's a bias that a lot of people don't, you know, have been misinformed. And we also don't understand our faith. And we were talking before about, you know, growing up, you know, you go to religious ed classes and you're a third grader, mm-hmm. you have a third grade understanding of the world.
Right.
But you're and you have a third grade understanding of religion, right? So you're both on a level. So you go around you amongst your life and you answer questions as a third grader and you provide answers for your faith as a third grader. Then as you get older, you know, you're in high school, you're 16. Now you have a 16-year-old's understanding of the world, but still a third grader's understanding of religion. So those answers aren't answered. Now you're going around life and answering 16-year-old questions, but combating that with your third grade understanding of religion. So it doesn't add up. It doesn't make sense. It shouldn't. I mean, it's nonsense. And the same thing in high school. I'm like, you know, this doesn't make sense. All I learned was the Our Father and the Hail Mary, and I can't.
So, Louis, what's your message? And we have some young people listening to the show, and I know for a fact. So what's your message to the young people as a young person? What would you tell them?
Well, one, I would say to know Jesus, know who he is, because you can't live this lifestyle without knowing who he is. And you do that, like, you know, I was trying to say before, by learning about the faith, learning about, you know, what the church teaches and why she teaches this. What's the reasoning behind this? Why is it so good to live this lifestyle? And before we were talking about, you know, I was reflecting on one of the scriptures of when Jesus goes to Peter, Simon, do you love me? Do you love me more than these? And he goes, yes, Lord, you know I love you. But then I thought about it myself. I'm like, have I ever sat down and answered that question? Seriously answered that question. And if you answer that, as Peter did, and said, yes, Lord, you know I love you, then everything in your life has to change. Because if you love Jesus more than these, more than everything, then everything changes. You have to live differently. You can't say, yes, Lord, I love you, and then go out living your old lifestyle.
And you don't do that out of fear.
Yes.
You do that out of love of Jesus. And people say, I don't do it because I'm going to be punished. Well, no, that certainly is part of it. But the real reason for living the lifestyle is because you don't want to hurt Jesus or God the Father or the Holy Spirit. You want to be in their presence,
yep,
as much as possible. Yep. And, you know, when you were talking about the difference between a third grade and a 16-year-old, it's been my experience that everybody reaches a point where that dichotomy between what you've learned in grammar school and what you experience in life all of a sudden comes to a head,
mm-hmm,
and you have a conversion experience.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow or other God says, Louis, I want you to consider coming closer to me.
Mm-hmm.
And will you do that, like you said? Will you come to me, you know?
Yeah, and he's constantly, every day he's calling us. Every day we wake up, he's calling us back to him. And we can't love him if we don't know who he is. We have to know him.
Well, I'm sorry. I shouldn't
interrupt. No.
Let me ask you just a quick question. With your relationship with Jesus and the Blessed Mother and God our Creator, what are you getting out of it? What is it doing for you?
That's a good question. If it wasn't doing anything, why are you going to keep living?
Why? I mean,
what's in it for you?
I hate to say that, but I didn't want to say it. But Palmer, you have a way with words. You're amazing.
No, but I think what Dr. Palmer was saying in the beginning, at first, you know, there's certain reasons why you live this lifestyle, why you follow Christ. Number one, first, it's, you know, maybe out of fear of punishment. Maybe it's, you know, you want eternal life. So Christ gives, you know, God gives us for a reason. He wants to get us back in. But eventually, as you practice and grow in grace, you no longer do it for the negative side, but simply to have Jesus, to love
That's
Jesus.
Right.
But yeah, what do you get out of it? I think you get happiness. You get happiness. And I think, you know, you see going in high school, when you drift away from the faith a little bit, you know something's off, and, you know, Christ called you back, he called me back, and I started getting answers from the church about, you know, why the church teaches certain things, and, you know, all this talk about the truth setting you free. I'm like, what is this truth? And then you experience it, and it changes the whole way you look at the world.
How do you experience it? What happens?
You get an internal conversion, like you said. I mean, I don't think you can experience Christ's love. You just have to live it yourself, right? I was talking to, this is one of the Jesuits, he was telling us about a story about his friend, about the Blessed Mother. His friend, when he was becoming a Jesuit, said to the teacher, like, you know, I don't understand all the Catholics about this Mary thing. I don't get it. Why do you guys love Mary? And he said, it's just like having a drink on the beach on a hot summer day. You just have to experience it.
That's right.
And that's what it's about. You just have to experience Mary. It's something that happens. You can't explain, you know, you can explain it away all you want, but at the end of the day, it's just the Holy Spirit working.
But it does happen.
It happens. It happens.
It does happen. And it's unbelievable how all of a sudden you're getting a sense. Sometimes I find I get different thoughts in my head. And I said, where did that come from? I never thought that way before.
Yeah.
And I find out later, that's God teaching me, don't do that stupid change. You know?
Yeah,
become
a little wise.
Yeah. Accept our wisdom. Yeah. Change the way you live.
But I think at the end of the day, for young people particularly, we have these answers of what's going to give you happiness. It's going to be money. It's going to be your career. I mean, we're right as soon as we're in grammar school, what's our goal? You're going to go to college. You're going to be a millionaire. This is what's going to give you happiness. You know, you're going to buy all the gadgets you want. And
oops.
Yeah. But and it's
like
this void. No, all this is good, but it's not going to give us lasting happiness. And I think, you know, we see all the stuff that we can have, and we get overwhelmed, and we're never happy because there's always something we don't have, and we constantly get more. We buy more clothes. We want more money. We search for this. We want to date the hottest girl in school. We want to do this. All this is good, but you have to be balanced. And I think when you find Christ, like you said, his grace alone is sufficient. Him alone is enough. And when you experience that conversion, it just clicks. And you say, this is what it's about. This is what gets me happy.
And you say, gee, there's something more than just this routine stuff of going through sun up, sun down.
Yeah.
And you find out that God's sun is up all the time.
Yes.
And he wants you to be warmed by his love. That's what he wants.
And this materialistic world that we live in means nothing when you have Jesus by your side. Because you know you can overcome all things with Jesus by your side.
And none of this stuff comes on with you at the end, you know?
That's right.
All it's going to be is just yourself and all the stuff you did in this world.
That's right.
At the end.
Oh, I'm getting worried now. I was with you up until that last minute when you said everything comes back. My gosh.
I found that Jesus comes on gradually. First he came to me through Mary. Then he came as being my best friend. And I says, whoa, that's amazing. My best friend's father is the creator of the universe. Now I found out that he's coming to me as my brother. And then I'm finding out that he's coming to me as my big brother. So wouldn't it be great, I mean, to have a big brother by the name of Jesus?
Yep.
And he's meant to be all of our big brothers.
Yep.
So
So
for the youth out there, and I'm sure, Lewis, you'll agree, for the youth out there, you can have no better, bigger brother.
Than Jesus, And I think at the end of the day, like I said, there's a lot of misunderstandings about the Catholic lifestyle, and I think people should learn more and really understand the faith more and see the happiness you bring. I mean, there's nothing wrong about following Christ. It only can help you. It only will help your family, right? Help you to live as a good son or whatever state of life you're in. Be a good student. Follow Christ. It only helps those around you when you become, you know, when you have this conversion experience, and a lot of us, you know, whether you're cradle Catholics or you're coming to the church or you left the church, it only can help you. And it only brings you, makes you holier and brings you closer to Him. But I think what you were talking about is, you know, you just said having, you know, your best friend, his father, is the creator of the universe. And I think we lose sight of the radical nature of Christ Himself, right? We have Christmas coming up. The Son of God being born in a stable amongst animals.
Of a virgin.
You should just think, if you think about how radical and really crazy the gospel, it should make you think, wait a minute, the Son of God was crucified? Was sinless and he was crucified.
And he came back.
And he came back. I think we just go around amongst our lives, you know, singing the Christmas songs and Easter time, really forgetting the radical nature of it. And even the sacraments, wait a minute. Christ is in the Eucharist.
A piece of bread and in a cup of wine.
How humble our God is. It's amazing. It's amazing. And I think that should make you think. And then that's, I think, one step of really, you know, getting back into the faith of, wow, this is, you know, what are these Christians saying? They're walking around with their crucifixes all the time. These guys are crazy.
And that's crazy, what they thought. Catholics.
Yeah. That's what they thought in the Roman times. They're like, who are these crazy? Oh, man, there's another one, another uprising coming up here. They're preaching the gospel. We gotta control this, and now it's all over the world.
And it can't be controlled.
No.
Because it's an internal experience. And you can be persecuted. You can have people coming at you ready to blow your brains out because you're following someone that you can't see and you can't touch, but you know is real.
I mean, look at all the martyrs, how peaceful they were before their death. They knew. I mean, they have the big reward coming for them. They know. And even, you know, look, recently, the Soviet Union, you had the underground church. You had Poland, John Paul II working with the church in Poland. You have now in China the underground church. Like you said, they can't control them, and these dictators are afraid because they know something's working on there.
Lewis, can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
How old are you?
I'm 19.
He's 19.
Did you hear that? I was going to ask the same question. I want if the audience could see this young man who's talking here. Unbelievable.
The words out of his mouth and the knowledge and the wisdom. Could this be coming from a 19-year-old?
You sure you're not Robinson Cano? Are you sure?
It's not my words.
Lewis, that's right.
Now I know why when you come to the prayer group, you take over the prayer group.
Don't take over. But it's exciting stuff to talk about.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, now we can't talk about it in public. You know,
Why not?
It's frowned upon talking about it. And, you know, the whole religious liberty crisis we're having now, you can't bring anything into the public sphere. And if you, God forbid, you mention
can.
In class. Oh, we can.
We can.
We can, and we will. But, it, you know, it's frowned upon. I think a lot of people and young people might be afraid sometimes to bring it up in class if they know. You know, I had a class about last year on the American Constitution about, they're talking about Roe v. Wade, and whole class was, you know, completely, you know, started, I had one person stand up and started screaming at me, you know, you're holding women back and everything, and I think I said something like, this is the greatest genocide of our time is abortion, and, you know, I said that, you know, I wanted to cause a stir, and people yelled, and then all of a sudden there was this blind girl in class who raised their hand and said, you know, my parents knew I was blind when, you know, I was, you know, my her mother was pregnant with her, and I'm happy. My, you know, what if my mother would have aborted me? I wouldn't be here right now. And everyone was silent at that question.
You know who the people best, are afraid to the best example of that not being aborted? Steve Jobs,
yep,
from Apple.
Mm-hmm.
Parents were going to abort him.
Oh wow!
And I they did that. Not.
Wow!
And look at what happened.
Yep.
And you begin to think of people like Steve Jobs and others like that, who aren't being born.
Yep.
And why are we in trouble?
Think about how many potential great doctors were aborted, potential great leaders were aborted.
Oh, yeah. It's sad. And amongst young people, this is something that we deal every day on campus, on every campus I know across the country. And, you know, you see, it's just because you know that, you know, the sexual activity is, you know that's happening on campus. And you know that, you know, there's either contraception or something going on to control whatever the population is, and it's sad. And you confront it either within amongst the lifestyle like that, amongst friends, amongst professors, amongst universities who promote it. So this is something we deal with. I mean, in the Knights of Columbus House in Georgetown, we have a big Defend Life sign in the front, and I'm so proud of that there. But I'm sure people pass by and complain, and, you know, and it's a battle, and I think amongst young people, and Blessed Pope John Paul says, do not be afraid. And this is something we're going to deal with in our lifestyle, in our lifetime. And you see now with the church combating it with the mandate, with the abortifacient drugs and the contraception.
Oh, yes,
and
sure.
So this is something that's not going to go away. And I think, you know, young people are going to have to stand up because we're going to be the ones who are going to be in Congress and in leaders and who are going to be voting on this.
The other one's going to be paying the taxes.
Paying the taxes, yeah.
Down the line for all these things. Yeah, yeah. It's going
to
be there.
But it's scary to think what's going to happen. And I think this is another issue where, you know, the church is not going to back down and people don't really understand the issue. And we'll see what happens. But,
you know, again, you remind me of another statement, this time Pope Benedict said, and you fit the bill so adequately. He said, if you find your substance in Christ, my dear young people, and if you live profoundly in him as he did, as did the Apostle Paul, you will not be able to resist speaking about him and making him known and loved by many of your friends and contemporaries. I don't know, Paul. I think he fits the bill so perfectly.
Well, I think we want every listener, Christian, Catholic, to fit that bill.
Yes.
We want them all to say, Jesus is my Lord and my Master. And it's because I know him internally, and I wish to give him my life. That, and if you operate from that perspective, it's amazing, first of all, how people will run away from you. They won't come near you. They say, oh, here comes the flake again. But there are some who listen.
Mm-hmm.
And all you have to do, like with our radio show, you capture one a day. You got 365
and
in a year.
Heaven is singing. Well, this is what you guys are doing now.
That's right.
You're talking about Christ on the radio. You're bringing it to whoever's listening.
Our goal is to get one convert a week. Right, Palmer?
That's it.
And then
one a week.
But sometimes converts are already people in the church. We need to, you know, bring them back. But what you said is people turn away, but what they do to Christ, they turn away. I'm the bread of life. Oh, wait, this guy's crazy. Let me walk away and leave.
Well, and people don't even understand what does that mean.
Yeah.
I am the bread of life. And to me, that's nourishment that you receive when you go to the Eucharist. You get fed. Your spirit gets fed. He gave me a little idea that when you receive the Eucharist, you're giving the Holy Spirit and you a shower.
Yeah.
A little wake up, you know, a little refreshment. And because that's how we gain our strength.
Yeah.
We get that grace there.
Yep.
Well, you know what? I would, first of all, Lou, you're not going away, but we do have other things we want to follow up in the show.
But you know what? We may have to have Lewis back again.
Sure.
Because I don't think we're completing everything here, Lewis.
After all my finals and exams, all the papers I got to write.
Well, why don't you? I know you have a saint of the day, and maybe you can Go into the saint for today.
I'll be brief about the saint of the day.
Thank God.
The saint of the day.
Excuse me, though, but when he says brief, it's a half an hour. So.
The saint of the day, I chose 12 midnight this morning. And so, and I just got a, inspiration to do him. And St. Aloysius, who's a Jesuit priest. He was born during the Renaissance era time. But you know what? That shows that our Lord picks saints in all areas. And the Renaissance was a tough, bloodthirsty era. But he chose one of his saints there. And he chooses them all over. I mean, every area, Mexico. So this is a good example. He was a scholar. And he was born in Italy on March 9th, 1568. And he was the eldest son of a Fernando Gonzaga. And he was a mercenary, and a mercenary soldier. And his father wanted him to become a soldier. But at the age of 11, at the age of nine, rather, I should say, he came from his hometown to Florence to be educated. And by 11, he was teaching catechism to young children.
Just like this guy.
Just like, yeah. Yeah, and that's why I must have been inspired to do St. Aloysius. And at the age of 13, he traveled with his parents and the Empress of Australia to Spain and acted as a page in the court. The more Aloysius saw of court life, the more disillusioned he became, seeking relief and learning about, instead, the lives of saints, as I think Lewis did. And so, Aloysius decided to embrace religious life, choosing the Carmelites, and first, and then he decided to go to the Jesuits. In 1584, he returned to Italy, where he won his father's approval to renounce his title and inheritance. He gave up all his inheritance, just like some other saints that we know. To him, Jesus and our Lord was more important than any inheritance. He then presented himself to the Father General of the Society of the Jesuits on November 25th. He was a brilliant man, and he trained in philosophy and in mathematics, believe it or not. Aloysius earned honors at the university during his Jesuit stay. In his early period of training, he was again singled out for his intelligence and his piety. On November 25th, Aloysius made his vows in the Jesuit order and began his theological studies. In 1590, he received a vision that declared he would die within a year. In the vision, the Archangel Gabriel led Aloysius and St. Anthony to heaven. When a famine developed in Italy, a form of plague swept across the land. Aloysius cared for the victims, contracted the plague, and after receiving his last rites from St. Robert Benjamin, he died. The shrine in the church of St. Exano in Rome is a magnificent structure and a tribute to St. Aloysius. A large marble picture of St. Aloysius as part of the shrine. He's remembered for his purity. Aloysius was declared the protector of the young students by Pope Benedict the 13th in 1724, and the patron saints of all the youth. So that's the quick life of St. Aloysius, who gave up everything for his faith, and who, at the very young age, was talking about his love for Jesus.
It's amazing. And I'm so glad you chose him, because it fits our guests.
But you know what? I didn't.
But we don't want you to get the plague.
Palmer, excuse me. I didn't choose him. The Holy Spirit chose him.
Good.
Because it was a last-minute deal. Again, I was supposed to do St. Gertrude, but I promised for next week. Maybe.
Gertrude's going to come and get you if you don't do it, you know.
So anyway, he does fit your persona.
Well, I mean, it's a... I have large shoes to fill there with St. Aloysius. St. Luigi in Italian, as he's known.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I forgot that. He's known as St. Luigi.
He died at 21, right? Was it?
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
He's a big fan over at Georgetown, the Jesuits. He's in the stained glass window in the chapel.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So it was the right choice.
Yeah, well, of course.
And he should be the model for all young people. For every Christian should be the model for.
But let me just make one more mention. There is a movement of also... appointing Blessed John Paul II as his secondary patron saint of the youth.
Good.
For all that he's done for the youth, with starting Youth Day in the
1980s. World Youth Day,
Youth Day.
You know, as you were reading that, I don't know if you really heard the song that was playing in the background. It's O Holy Night. And I started the Christmas music on the show to counteract Black Friday, because people have lost sight of what Christmas is all about. And Tony, we're going to do our very first commercial. Trevor, we're doing a commercial. Ready?
Are we getting paid for this commercial?
No, okay. It's free.
I didn't think so.
And it's with great joy that we announce the long-awaited Christmas show spectacular of Father Charles and Lori Magano. A brother and sister celebrate the heart of Christmas. How about that?
Wow.
And that show.
And his shows, their shows are amazing.
Yeah, and the show is going to take place at the theater at Westbury on Thursday, December 6th. Not this Thursday, but a week from Thursday at 7 p.m. And listeners, we tell you, this is really a wonderful way to bring people back to God.
And it's
bring
a
them
great,
to a Christmas show.
It's a great Christmas gift for someone, don't
you
think?
Yes, it is. And tickets can be purchased by calling, 631-337-1804, or Ticketmaster at 1-800-745-3000.
Wow.
And if you can't remember those phone numbers, I have trouble with memory, you go to Curia Lars Church in Merrick Avenue on Merrick on Wednesdays between 10 a.m. and 1 p.m. and 5 p.m. and 7 p.m. The tickets are $65 and $75 per person.
That's all? Whoa.
No, that's a lot of money, but you got to realize half of that money goes to the theater and the other half goes to the charities supported by Father Charles and Lori. And it's really, they have wonderful charities. And not only is it Father Charles and Lori in concert there, they're going to have a boys choir, they have other events, they have humorous things that go on in their shows. And I don't know if they still have Angelo DiPippo as their arranger, but Angelo is wonderful. He played the accordion in Godfather in the background music, and an arranger for many people. It's a highly professional night.
Oh, we know, yeah.
December 6th. And we thought maybe, Trevor, we thought we'd just kind of move along and get people in the Christmas mood. So I'm going to have a sing-along. We're going to sing along.
You're not going to sing, are you?
No, but we're encouraging all of our listeners to get in the mood and get ready for Christmas. Here we go. And you can leave the sound on for us because we're going to sing. Hark the Herald. Come on, people. Start singing. Get in the Christmas mood. On earth, you know the words, God and sinner.
I gave you money for singing lessons, you never took them.
That's Lori Mangano singing in the background, and Father Charles is going to join her. It's a preview of what you're going to get December 6th when you go to the Westbury Theater. Are you singing at home? gather your children, lift them up, splash them with water if you need, wake them up. Santa, this is not Santa music, this is Jesus music. This is Christmas music. This is what it's about, folks.
You do a good commercial, Palmer. You sure we're not getting paid for this?
No money, not a penny.
Angels we have heard on high, sweetly singing o'er the plains, and the mountains in reply, echoing their joyous strain.
Come on, everybody. I can't hear you, Trevor. Come on. Come on, stand up, people. Get up and walk around. Get in the Christmas mood. If you're in a car, leave your hands on the wheel. Here's Father Charles. That's not Father Charles.
No,
it's Laurie.
You made a mistake.
I love Laurie's voice. I love Father Charles' voice.
Father Charles and Laurie are good friends of this radio show.
Oh, they are.
They're really wonderful people.
They go all over doing concerts. And they're doing just what you said, Louie. They're evangelizing people. And they do it in so many different ways and so professional.
Did you know that Louis was baptized by Father Charles?
Yes, I forgot to mention that, yes.
Wow, that's wonderful.
My mom reminds me all the time. She sees him. He baptized him, I guess.
But see, Father Charles is a priest with a mission. And his mission is to dedicate people to Jesus through Mary.
Right.
Through Mary.
And evangelizing through music.
Yes.
Both him and his sister.
And the reason why I'm letting the music play in the background, it goes on for a while, is I want to really combat in the heads and the minds of people Black Friday. Who cares about standing in thousands of people trying to save $2 for a Christmas gift? Isn't that ridiculous? I would rather go out and steal it in the middle of the night rather than pay $2 less. I mean, that's crazy.
And the one place where you get away from all this, if you go to church on Sundays and Advent, you never hear Christmas music.
That's right.
You don't hear Christmas until Christmas Day. So the only way to get away from it is in church. They do that for a reason, because we're preparing for Christmas.
That's right. Advent. That's what Advent's all about.
That's what Advent's about.
Get ready for Christmas.
I found it interesting. If you go to Mass on Sunday, when Advent's the first week of Advent, well, next week now, not this week.
Right.
You won't hear any
Christmas. Tomorrow is Christ the King.
Christ the King.
It's the last Sunday of the year.
The liturgical year.
Liturgical year.
It's a good way to end
Advent
it.
The week after.
And this is what Christmas brings, huh? Peace on the earth. That's God. Jesus came to our earth to touch us, to change us, to fill us up with the love of God, with the timeless love that's beyond this world. The world in stillness lay. I hope you feel that peace. See, we want to be the first radio station to do a Christmas medley. And the 23 people who are listening are going to turn us up.
Oh, we're up to 28 now.
28 people are listening. Isn't that wonderful? Wow. And we got to get the taste of that storm out of our system. Yuck. That was the worst 2 weeks that we've ever had on Long Island. Oh, and so many people were left homeless and out of jobs. And
we're praying for them every morning.
Yes. Ginny, we're praying for them. We're praying for them all the time, Ginny. We're not supposed to do personal messages on these radio shows. But that's Virginia who said that when we did the talk on the storm, we didn't pray for those who lost their houses and lost their businesses.
We pray every morning.
We certainly do. And we listen to our listeners. Faithful
joyful. Where's Hal Barbarino when we need him?
Oh, our good friend Al.
He'll
love
Al.
He's going to be a guest on the show.
Well, and that's wonderful. And Al is just so gracious a man. He's so wonderful. And I'm not saying that to make up because I talk over all of his music.
But you know what? With all that, he still loves you.
Well,
he loves you.
He's out of touch with reality. That's the whole problem. We have to get him back into reality.
Let me tell you, I love that guy.
You know, and Jesus brings great gifts all year long. But I heard something last night that blew me away as far as a gift. Marita Doherty, who's been on our show many times, and a lovely woman, her daughter was filled with cancer, and she's healed.
Wow.
The cancer's gone.
Not
through the prayer groups.
And we give praise and glory
Bonnie,
and thanks.
And Bonnie is another one, healed by prayer. Healed by prayer as the drummer boy comes. You go to God. You pray to him. You let him take over. You do what Louis said. You give up yourself to God.
That's right. And Matthew,
you do what he wants.
Matthew 13 says, Jesus says, give me your burdens and I will carry them.
Yes, he will. Yes, he will. And it also requires being a soldier for Christ and standing up, like Louis said, standing up for the values of Jesus. That's Christmas. You do that all year long. You march to that drum. You march to a different
drum. There's the marching drum.
That's right.
And so we give praise and glory and thanks to Jesus for his mercy and for curing all those people that we've been praying for.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And as I said last time when we talked about the storm, that storm was a wake-up call for Long Islanders. Everyone who was touched was one-on-one with Jesus, and there's no getting away from it. When you feel a tree shake the ground, when it hits, you know, hey, there's something bigger going on here than just a storm.
Absolutely.
And that's a conversion. Jesus knows how to evangelize. He can do it gently, or he can have a tree fall on your head. But he'll evangelize you. He'll get you. Oh, I'm feeling Christmassy. I think I'll buy a tree on the way home. About this big, a little tiny one. I'm cheap. I don't like
a big
tree.
I know your trees. You're cheap. I remember last year's tree.
You know what? I think I'm making two more enemies. Lori and Charles are going to be mad because we're talking over their music. Brum bum bum bum. What's this? Ha 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 ha. Brum bum bum bum. You know, Tony, we should get this music in Greek and play it right at the beginning of the show.
It would be great for this station. Yes. Talk to Father Charles and Lori.
No. We'll talk to the people in Greece who are on before us on the station. You know, it's good just to hear the music and talk over it and forget about everything. Forget about your worries and concerns. Just let them all go and let Jesus take over. It's Christmas. Bah humbug, huh? The very first Christmas. You know, if you read scripture for this Sunday, Daniel, hundreds of years before Jesus predicts his coming. And if you look back on all of the prophets that are listed in the first reading at Sunday Masses, all the way back through June, they're all pointing towards Christmas.
And tomorrow's psalm cries that his dominion is all over creation. And in the vision of Daniel, we hear in today's first reading, he comes on the clouds of heaven.
Well, he almost didn't come because you weren't on mic.
I know.
Oh, are we getting annoyed now with Christmas music? It's only 10 minutes long. Lori and Charles, we wish you the best of luck on December 6th at Westbury Theater. If you don't get a ticket in advance, I don't know if you're going to be able to get tickets at the door. They'll sell out.
Oh, they'll be selling out, absolutely.
I met Father Charles at St. Ignatius. He said, we have to sell 3,000 seats. My hey, that's a lot of seats.
Palmer, you do a great commercial.
Well, I told them I would do something, and they couldn't come because they're in rehearsal, which I understand. But so they just have to put up with us talking over their music. That's all.
Well, we wish them well. We wish them the best. We wish them Godspeed.
Amen. And when you're at the theater, folks, you cannot talk over their music. Big finish now. Big finish. Come on, Angelo. Big finish. Yay! Hooray! Merry Christmas!
And that's a preview of what you're going to hear.
That's right. Was that from last year, or is that a CD they put
that's
together?
That's a CD. They have a CD. They have a lot of wonderful CDs out. They even have video out on different Christmas shows. And but they do not only Christmas shows, they do so many wonderful things.
They're great people. They're great. They're
and they put on a hell of a good show, excuse me. But they really put on a hell of a good show. And I think you'll enjoy it, folks, if you get over there. They put on a heaven of a good show.
Yes.
Is that good?
And unfortunately, Palmer and I can't make it.
I can't. I have hours that night. And Christmas time is tough for my clients.
I know.
I'd love to make it there. Louis, what do you think of us? Are we nuts? Come on,
tell us.
Originally, I thought I was going to come on a comedy show. That's what I was. Not too much comedy today, but you guys are good.
Some people say that they think we have a lot of wit. Tony has half wit, and I have half wit.
And
we make the
and
same
they
kind
call
of
us dimwit.
Well, listen, we want to pray for all the people who are getting ready for Christmas, for healing. And so many homes have been devastated by the storm. And so many people have been hurt and cry out, where are you, Jesus? You know, we talk about Jesus being personal and intimate. But, you know, where are you? Where are you, Jesus? That's what they're asking. How come you had my business get flooded out? What is it that you want of me, Lord? Am I going to be angry at you for the rest of my life? Or can I maybe learn what you want to teach me during this time? Isn't that what we have going on? And people who are hurt and injured, you know, I'm wondering, gee, why do I have this illness? I think of Bonnie, and I think of Marita's daughter, fourth stage ovarian cancer. And prayerful people prayed with them consistently, and the cancer's gone. Can you imagine getting a phone call? I got a phone call from Bonnie saying to me, Dr. Palmer, you told me that Jesus is not an Indian giver because he had healed me of cancer once. Then it came back, and she said, but you were right. It's all gone. It's gone. The power of prayer.
The power of prayer is dynamic. Dynamic.
And you know, people think Christmas is Santa Claus. And of course, Santa Claus is really the spirit of love that you share. That's St. Nicholas sharing the toys with the kids. Remember you did that sainthood?
Mm.
And we pray for our listeners now that at this Christmas time, your power and your love, Lord, will come in. And we pray that listeners will go and be with Jesus. I get words, you know that, Tony, and I got one entitled, I Am Lonely. And I want to read it because I think you might be surprised at who it's from. It's the middle of the night. There's nobody here but you and me. We're meeting, my friend. I called you to be with me. Why? What could not wait until morning? What is so important? that I had to wake you up. I, Jesus, set you free. I, Jesus, save you. I've already told you that. What's so important? I love you. I know I've already said this to you. The real reason that I wake you up is that I, Jesus, am lonely. I knew I could count on you. I knew you would come to me. Thus I awakened you from a deep sleep. I wanted to have company. I get lonely too, you know. I want to be with someone. Listeners, won't you come to me? I can't resist calling you to me. It's okay now. I know you're on call. You came. Go back to sleep. We'll talk in the morning. I heard you ask. Are you sure, Lord? Will you be okay? He said, thank you for asking. Yes, I am sure. You know, we forget that Christmas we ask Jesus to come into us. And we ask for God to touch us. But you know, he gets pretty lonely. I was once at an adoration after Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, the day after, and I heard it's the day after Christmas, and all through the church, there's nobody here but you and me. Where are all my friends? Where are all my friends? You know, Jesus wants a relationship in love, and that's a two-way relationship. So we pray that you come back to church this Christmas, and that you come and be with Jesus this Christmas. And then maybe you can make it a real holy night. You know, I'd like to end with Perry Como singing A Holy Night.
And I want to thank all the listeners.
Oh, holy night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of the dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Fall on your knees, oh, hear the angel voices. Oh, night divine, oh, night when Christ was born. Night divine.